If you've got a little story you need to share, pull up a chair, he'll listen. Despite of the name and despite of the logo, there's definitely no knitting on this show. Called Good, Good Yarns.
Welcome to another episode of Good Yarns. My name is Shad Wicker. This is a storytelling podcast where we get a new guest on each week to just share an interesting story, maybe something fun, just a little bit of a yarn each week for you to enjoy. So far, we've had a whole bunch of comedians on the podcast this week, bit different. Our guest this week is Sam Thaiday, former rugby league player. If you don't follow rugby league, he used to play for a team called the Brisbane Broncos. Slammin' Sam played a whole bunch of State of Origins as well. I've had the pleasure of getting to know Sam over the last few years since working in radio, when I was working in radio for Nova. And, yeah, we've become mates over the last couple of years doing a lot of work in podcasting. He has his own podcast coming out soon that is far more serious than the chat we're having. It's called We Are Human. I've been helping him out with it, actually, where he talks to athletes, personalities as well, and the mental health associated with a lot of players, which I think is quite poignant at the moment, especially this past year in rugby league in Australia, where a couple of people have tragically taken their lives, some people close to Sam as well. In fact, the pod will be out eventually. I'm not entirely sure when this pod will go out and whether it'll be out, but look up We Are Human. You can see some of his first season where he chats to, for those that know rugby league, Greg Inglis he chats to on the podcast, Jarrell Yaoyi, who had his career cut short by crazy injury, if anyone remembers that, basically snapped his leg in half. Ian Roberts as well, as in the podcast as well. There's a whole bunch of great guests he has on there. So it'd be worth checking out. JT is going to kick off his new season. There's a little sneak peek for you there, where he has a great chat about Jonathan Thurston about mental health. But this podcast is not as meaningful as that. This is just sitting down and having a bit of a chat. Sam and I talk about random stuff all the time. So I basically just turned the mics on. So do you want to just tell me some kind of yarn about touring or whatever? And he does. He just talks about, you know, what it was like cruising around with the Kangaroos for a bit, being on tour, trying to get away from being seen when you're out and about, kind of poke a little bit of fun at each other. But his main gist of his story is about a certain tour with the Kangaroos that involved him potentially doing something that may or may not have been illegal. Yeah. So this is this week's episode of Good Yarns with Sam Thaiday. I will say this, Sam, you're probably the most well-known person to do my podcast in many ways, I'd imagine. You know?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, I think it says a lot about the podcast. I feel like if you were playing footy still, you would not be doing this podcast.
Yeah. I've only heard about this podcast.
Mm.
I haven't listened yet.
Yeah.
But
well, thank you. Thanks for the support.
That's right. I'll jump on board, mate. But I will have to have a listen now.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing better than a true story.
Yeah, a good yarn.
An outrageous yarn.
Yeah. Because obviously, for anyone who doesn't know, you're an ex-NRL player.
Yes.
Formerly, Broncos great, I guess we'd call you. Do you get invited to those? The big Broncos greats, former greats? Do you get that?
Is there one of those? I don't know. Is there
Are
one?
You a former Origin great? Like State of Origin?
Yeah, I'm a fog.
Yeah, you're a fog now?
Yeah, I'm a fog now.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
What's that even mean?
Fog means former Origin great.
What does that do for your life?
Not much.
Yeah.
Really. I might get a free drink or something when I go to a certain bar if they know me. I like to call it an STD.
Okay.
Yeah, Sam Thaiday discount.
Okay, good. Well, I don't know if you'd be wanting to bust that out in random conversations.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll just get myself an STD at the bar. Thanks, mate.
Oh, I just went up to the bar and I got an STD.
Yeah, nice.
I don't think people would want to go to that establishment after I told them that, but yeah, it doesn't get you much, to be honest.
But
if anything, just gets you more recognised, especially in the in Queensland, more than the eastern states.
Yeah. Do people in Melbourne... Because obviously State of Origin, it's New South Wales.
Well, I was recently down in Melbourne and it was pretty good. I was pretty incognito down there.
Mm.
I did have the nickname for a while from my mates. They used to call me Dogs Balls. Yeah. Because I stand out like dog's balls.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like these things.
Can't go anywhere. Those can't go anywhere. Water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, I do like going to, and that's the way I plan my holidays too, to be honest. I try to plan my holiday to places where I'm not recognised.
Right. Oh, fuck. Calm down, mate. You're not a Kardashian.
I know.
Relax, dude. We've got to go somewhere where they're not going to recognise
exactly.
me.
But when I say it like that too, I kind of mean it in a sense of, I'm not going to go to Thailand or Bali where there's a lot of Aussies, is what I mean.
I think you'd still get away with it over there. The other reason you'd stand out over there is because of the size. Yeah, you're like taller than everyone.
Yeah. I'll rephrase that. I like to go to places where there's less Australians so I can relax and enjoy myself. And in saying that, my last kind of big holiday was over to Japan. I went on a ski holiday to Niseko and was over there with another footy mate of mine, Jonathan Thurston, right. And that was a bad choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if I'm dog's nuts, I don't know what he is. What else stands out?
Well, his laugh would be the one that would stick out. But you're in Japan.
We're in Japan and we were still getting stopped and noticed and like...
Not by locals.
Not by locals, no.
But just Aussies over there skiing.
Aussies, New Zealanders over there skiing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I've never really had that issue.
Well, let's get you there,
mate.
How are we going to get you there?
yeah. If any
you're Northern Territory famous, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? Yeah, small town, big fish, small pond with radio and stuff, definitely.
Yeah.
I remember when I first, moved to Cairns to do radio, I was in my mid-20s, early 20s, and even in Darwin, used to just party, so hard. And you'd have doing breakfast radio, kind of burning the candle at both ends. I'd be out getting on the gear, partying at nightclubs and stuff, and then rocking up to work at 4:30 in the morning after my apartment was right next to in Cairns, the radio station used to be right near the Esplanade.
Yeah, just and go home, brush your teeth and go.
Yeah, so there's a Mantra right next to it. And I lived with a bunch of people in a Mantra. And it was the longest part of my trip to work was the elevator down from my apartment.
Yeah.
And you just waltz in. And I used to think, back then I'd never think about the recognizable part. But then I remember that when I was could go to Gilligan's in Cairns, classic Gilligan's, and I'd be so off my head, dude. And they'd have the club photographer that would go around, that takes photos of everyone out and about. And there's the amount of mornings that my program director, my boss would be like, what'd you get up to last night? It was a Wednesday morning. I'm like, just a quiet one. Oh, really? Have you had a look at the Gilligan's Instagram this morning? And it's just me dinner plate eyes just and the only saving grace is they don't put a timestamp on when I was at the club.
You're just you were looking for content.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the hardest thing with.
I'm trying to live amongst my fans, amongst the people of the radio.
Exactly, that's the hardest thing about breakfast radio is content.
Yeah,
and content's everywhere, and sometimes you need to go to Gilligan's to find content.
Sometimes you have to go there. but that must have been hard when you were playing footy, but especially in Brisbane.
Yeah, well, Brisbane is the it has been for a long time as a one team town.
Yeah.
And you are a big fish in a small pond because you're on bus stops, you're on sides of buses, part of the members campaign. Come on, sign up to be a Broncos member.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a Broncos burger at McDonald's and there's all these things. So
safe zones though, yeah? Because the famous stories of Caxton Street, the hotel down on Caxton,
the pub,
that's this safety spot for Broncos. Everyone's got a story of a Broncos player or some of the greats, Alfie Langer, doing silly things down at the Caxton. But you never really see a lot of footage come out of Brisbane pubs of players acting up or getting into mischief.
No, and it's funny to say that because when they are leaked footage of players, those places don't really exist or go off anymore.
Yeah, business disappears.
You just mentioned someone's name, Alfie Langer, and there was footage of him dancing on a table at the Normanby Hotel.
Oh, yeah?
When was the last time you went to the Normanby Hotel?
I've always wondered since moving to Brisbane why the Normanby doesn't go off because it's such a good venue
in
Brisbane.
It is a cracking spot.
And no one goes there. Is it because it got blacklisted for diving into Alfie?
It's the Broncos Mafia.
That's sick. I love that. How deep is the Broncos Mafia? Where else have they got there?
We don't talk about the Broncos
Mafia. Oh, we don't talk about it. No, never mind. No, fair enough. I don't want to get knocked off. because of that. Jeez.
Yes, exactly. Hey, we're trying to get this podcast out there. We want people to listen to it.
So that, like, that's legit. Like, they often got busted, and they're like, "Don't, no one goes to Normandy, mate."
Well, it's kind of a it's a team mentality. So essentially, if you've got the whole team going there, and then something happens at that place. You stop going there because it's like, well,
you betrayed our trust.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, geez, imagine the amount of nightclubs Joey Johns had to blacklist back in the day if there was if there was cameras on phones back then.
Wow. I think he was a very lucky man. That one went through the keeper, that one.
Oh, definitely. Well, I mean, I'd love to get a yarn from you from the footy days if you've got one of outrageous things that happen. But, I mean, I could ask some questions first before you give me your story.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know you wanted to check the legal ramifications of your
story. I do have a couple. I do have a couple of stories. Both of them are about international travel, but there is one that I'd like to share with you.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. Because, like, just straight off the bat with, like, playing footy, I know that the players have been caught doing this in the past.
Yeah.
Have you ever pissed on the field?
No, but I've shit my pants at training once. Yeah.
What? Why?
Yeah, yeah.
Was this the Wayne days? Wayne wouldn't let you go to the bathroom before you, no, you went out of training?
This was a we were doing some type of lactic acid testing, and we had to drink this drink, and it was absolutely disgusting. Mm. And I don't know what they were putting in it, but it gave an ability for them to test our lactic acid in our blood. So we had to drink, and it was like this, it was almost like this bicarb soda type of mix, and it just was no good. And we would have a drink, you'd run a couple of laps, they'd do a pinprick on your finger, they'd test your blood, and then you have to have another drink, you do a couple more laps. And like we did this about six times, so six different drinks. I reckon by halfway through, I was running, and I thought it was bicarb soda because I could feel it bubbling in my guts. But I was like, oh, this isn't good. I've got to keep on going. Like, I've got to finish this off. And I got to the fifth one, and we were coming in, and they went to do the pinpricks for the last one. I just kept on running. And I had to run to the bathrooms, and I didn't quite make it. No, not at all. So I didn't finish that test that day. And I had to go back to the car. Like, I had a towel in the car. It took me Reg Grundy's off, the shorts off. And, wasn't nice at all.
No. And then what benefit did that give the team into the following season?
Yeah, well, let's just say I had a shit year that year. But I never weed on the field, Russell Packer style.
Yeah.
Famously
next to the goalpost.
Yeah, at Suncorp Stadium.
Was it at the ground?
Exactly. That's sacred rugby league territory.
Yeah.
I actually did.
That's not the worst thing Russell Packer's done. If you want to Google what he's gotten up to,
yeah, please don't Google him. But in saying that, the old Suncorp Stadium used to be a cemetery.
Was it?
There's worse things than Russell Packer's piss at the cemetery.
When it was like, but dead bodies under there. How long ago was it that?
Did you know there's a church?
Yeah, there's a random little church right next to the
It's called Christ Church too.
Really? Do you go and pray there before the games? Is that the?
Oh, no. If I walked in there, I'd burn up, mate.
Yeah, but it is weird that there's a church there. What? So there used to be a cemetery?
That's the old story, is it?
Before it became Suncorp?
There's people buried there.
But wasn't it Lang Black?
It was Lang Park, but before Lang Park, yeah.
Before Lang Park. So there's dead bodies buried underneath Suncorp Stadium.
Yeah, I killed a few people there myself.
Yeah, I could imagine. Yeah.
I buried a few.
Well, probably in that 8 straight, I reckon there was a few there.
Classic.
So what have you got? What's the story that you want to bring to Good Yarns? Well, a couple of stories.
I might have to ring my lawyer about this.
All right.
And I actually don't have a lawyer, so I don't know. I don't even know why people say that, to be honest. Oh, I need to ring my lawyer.
Yeah.
Who's your lawyer?
Yeah.
Like, you just got one on call. Actually, I probably should have one on call just in case. But, yeah, there might be some legal ramifications with this, but I helped someone smuggle something into Australia once.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The very revealing. So a bit Chappelle Corby in reverse time situation.
Not along those lines. No illegal substances.
Mm-hmm.
But I helped someone smuggle money into Australia. Yeah.
Wow, because they were over the cash limit. Okay.
Over the cash limit.
So what? Okay, so let's play the picture. When was this? How long ago was this?
This is going back to, I'm going to say, 2006. So hopefully, like, it's forgotten. What's the parlay
statute of limitations? Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Okay, play on then.
As everyone would know, all of these stories are fiction.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wink, wink. We were in New Zealand. We were over there playing for Australia, actually. And where we used to always stay was across the road from casino. So obviously, after the game, when all the pubs and clubs shut, you go to the casino because the bar's still open. We had a handy little win over there, actually.
So in 06, who was in that team? Who was in the 06 team?
Well, to be honest, I didn't even play.
So, oh, really?
I was just there for the ride. I was a young kid.
Yeah, right. So it was like your first tour?
Yeah. And one of the trainers at the time, which is an ex-player.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you keeping the names out of it?
We won't mention any names. Liked to have a gamble. So, you know, kind of putting it out there anyway, if you know.
Love to have a bit of a pun.
Yeah.
Not on games.
Not on games. No, not on games. Like the horses and every now and then like to have a little flutter at the casino.
Okay.
And
rugby league players love a pokey room, I've noticed.
Oh, so bad.
When I was living in Sydney, I'd see like Benji and all those boys from the Tigers at Coogee Bay Hotel every single week.
Constantly.
Just constantly in the pokey room.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard a footballer say before is, it's all good, brah, free money. Like, what the hell? It's not free money.
Free money.
Free money, brah.
Yeah, was that a halfback or a fullback saying that probably? It was on the better money.
it was actually it was a player that crashed and burned, actually, to be honest. So,
there you go.
Yeah, also liked to freak in the Coogee Bay Hotel.
Free money ran out in the
free
end.
Money ran out in the end. This guy was at the tables that night playing a bit of blackjack, playing a bit of roulette. And
is that your game of choice?
Yeah, not really. I'm not a big punter, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, like if I ever have a bet, it's probably just on the horses, and you know, it's around the big horse
race. The big events. You're an event guy.
Yeah, I'm an event guy.
Just get on there a little bit for the big event.
Yeah, and it's like I'm not a big bettor. My wife quite enjoys having a pun on the horses. She, you know, she's a horse girl. She grew up around horses. She loves them. She can stand in the whatever it's called, the mounting yard and look at a horse and go, oh, that's a nice one. Like, you know, it's got great muscle structure.
Yeah, I've dated a couple of
girls. She's trying to break it down and stuff, and I was like, oh, okay. And she'll have a bet on it, she'll have a win. I'm like,
yeah, see, right. I've dated a couple of girls that have like ridden horses, like some like equestrian ones and just like hobbies as well. And they love to tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good looking horse.
Oh, don't bet on that one. Like, that's the favorite. Oh, no, it's got a gammon leg. Good. Look, it's dragging its foot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're like, what are you talking about?
I'm not a huge gambler myself, but I was at the casino anyway because just having a few more beers because – sure. We could extend that. And it come to going back to the hotel and then I had a couple of hours sleep because we had to get up to go. And the staff member wasn't kind of down in the lobby yet. And we had to try to maybe had a few more drinks.
Oh, lost soldier.
Yeah, lost soldier, man down. So I said, I'll go up and I'll check and see what he's doing. And his door of his room's open and it's a bit of a schmozzle in there. He's awake.
Like everything's thrown around.
Everything's everywhere. He hasn't even packed his bag yet.
Yeah, right.
Like clothes everywhere. Like a real mess. And I walk in and he goes, oh, watch out. Don't trip over. Watch out for my doorstop. And he had some money wedged underneath the door.
Is he still blind?
Yeah, still blind,
right. Yeah, right.
So money wedged under his door as a doorstop.
Really?
What are you doing? He goes, I was just in there taking a bath. And he goes,
Hang on, have a look
at the bath.
How much is in the doorstop?
Oh, like a good chunk.
To stop a door?
Yeah.
New Zealand money's not that different to our money, Australian money, hey?
Yeah.
So it's thin. It's
so you've got to think, it's at least...
it'd be a wad.
Almost 2 centimetres of money to chop the door.
What notes you reckon? What denomination are we talking? 20s, 50s?
I can't even remember what colour they were.
But if it's that thick, you've got to think it's like a couple of $100 that he's got wedged keeping the door open.
Keeping the door open, yep. And then I went and had a look in the bathtub and there was a little bit of money in the bathtub.
Like What do we mean? How much money in the bathtub?
Not like I'm imagining. Not a full bath.
Yeah, I'm imagining he's having a bath. Just covered in notes. It's like a big win on the blackjack.
Yeah, and then there's a few notes on the bed as well. And he's doing the, what's the snow angel? He's doing the money angel on the bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, good night, brother. He goes, well, we got to go. Bus is leaving. Like, it's an international flight. We've got to be at the airport early.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, I got to get all this money. So, like, I'm flipping the bed, making sure we've got every last bit of note. And there was a lot of it there.
I feel like if you've got enough money lying around the place,
yeah,
that you need to flip the bed to find the rest of it. You've got enough money.
I was young at that time, but like every little bit counts.
Yeah, you're like, I might not be on a kangaroo tour again. I'm going to take some of this cash.
And that's why I was hanging around all the older boys at the casino still, because I was broke as a joke. I was like, these boys can shout me beers. It's all good.
Man, that's okay. So you've gone into this hotel room. What a cash is keeping the doorstop open. Bathtub with money in it. Snow angels of money on the bed. Yeah. This guy's gone absolutely mental at the bed. Did he tell you how much it was or?
So we had to divide and conquer. That's what we did. So we got to the airport. We checked in our bags and stuff.
So you just shoved it all into a bag. And
still blind drunk. Yeah, backpack. Yeah, still blind drunk at this point in time.
You didn't tell the team?
A few players knew about it.
Right.
And whoever knew about it ended up being the donkeys. We ended up being the carriers.
So there was that much money.
Yeah, there was about, I'm going to say there was probably... there's about seven of us.
Wow.
Yeah, that had to bring some money back. So
that's hectic.
I did a quick Google before.
Yeah. What is the limitations of how much money?
So it's $10,000 cash.
Is the limit.
Oh,
oh my God. So there's seven of yous plus him.
Yeah.
So you're looking around about.
Yeah, around about that.
Over 10,000 per person nearly.
A little bit less then.
Yeah. Wow.
And we've had to all bring it through. And the funniest thing was when we got back to Australia, got back to the airport, he was just collecting cash in front of like
what happened? Like he convinces you, you get on the bus, you've got a bag. He's got bags of money.
Got to get this money back.
So when you get to the airport, we're getting off the team bus.
Yeah.
Is it now like, all right, boys? Who's in?
Yeah.
Who's going to hold some of this
cash? You take some. Okay.
And then you guys are like, what are you doing? Just putting it in your bag? Or were some people like, oh, I've got to strap this to my body? Nah. Like, is there anyone nervous?
I don't remember anyone being nervous.
Yeah, right.
We were all like pretty either hungover. Some guys were still drunk. And we're all just pretty jacked because how much money
he bloody won.
Like, we just couldn't believe how much money he'd won. And we were just kind of, we weren't panicked until we got back and he's just coming up to us as soon as we walk through, you know, you've got your stamp, you got anything to declare? No, nothing. Oh, here's my footy boots. They had some dirt on them. You want to check those? You know, check your footy boots over to all good. Yeah, go on through. And then get to the other side. So, you know, a few of us are standing out there waiting. He comes through, layering up as usual. And just in front of everyone, just collected money off everyone. Yep, thank you.
Just in front of airport security.
Security's still here. They can still see you, you drongo.
You wouldn't get away with that now, would you?
Nah, not at all. So it was a lot of fun. We always had a lot of fun, and especially on your away trips, because you just had a little bit more time to relax, kick the feet up, maybe have a few beers. You know, whenever you would play a home game here in Brisbane, you had your other commitments. You know, you'd be going home to your wife, your kids. Mm. You would have a recovery session the next day where you'd have to go and, you know, go swimming or
but
something.
You've done
like
a
that.
Few overseas trips with the Australian side.
Yeah.
So you've gone to like, you would have gone to the UK.
Yeah, I've done a couple
games
in the UK.
Well. I imagine things would have gotten pretty wild going over to the UK.
Oh, some of those English pubs are good.
Yeah,
real
right.
good. I can remember another time in Ireland. We were over in Ireland, and it was like Twilight Zone thing. Like we walked into this. Well, I walked in. I was a bit late, and we're just the boys are at this pub at Temple Bar, and I walked in. I was like, what the hell is happening here? The whole team was in there.
Mm.
We had one of the boys behind the bar. He was making cocktails. We had two of the boys up on stage with the singer, with the mic, singing along. Like, boys were wiping tables, and it's just like, where the hell are
running
we?
The pub?
We're running the pub. And it was like it was one of the best nights ever. Tim Sheens, very, very silly of him as the Australian coach. He gave us 3 days off in Ireland.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't think there was one sober bloke for the first 2 days, and then everyone kind of died on the third, and we had to go back to training on the fourth day. So, yeah, there were some good tours. We had a lot of fun. You know, we never mention anyone's names or incriminate anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's always good. Sometimes we play the rhyming game when we want to mention people's names.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
yeah.
But
got any of those?
I haven't got any rhyming names, mate.
No, fair enough. Don't want to incriminate anyone. Did you ever lose anyone on a trip? Up on the tours, like someone get left behind.
We almost lost a couple of people at the halfway mark. So, you know, you either stop, depending on who you're flying with, you either stop at Dubai or you stop at Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And I think it was James Tarmow. He jumped on the wrong bus one time. So sometimes you've got to go from a different terminal to another terminal to get on your plane. And he went the wrong way. And he was like, we had no idea where he was. And like, he was walking around the airport just going, he had no idea. He was absolutely lost. And another guy as well, I won't mention his name, but he had decided to go walkabout. So go for a wander, and then could not find where the lounge was to come back and find out and figure out where we are. Just thought he'd go for a shop.
Lost in the airport.
Lost in the airport. Places. Yeah, yeah. International airports are pretty hectic.
Still.
And they're pretty big, but you got to think too. We were spoiled brats at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, we hopped off the plane. Like, you gave your passport to the team manager. He kept it in safe in his room all the time.
Oh, you're really babied, aren't you?
He filled out all your departure cards, all that.
Oh, you get like, no wonder so many NRL players have no fucking idea sometimes.
100%, yeah. And even you get to the airport, you don't have to line up. Like, you got your own special check-in. They open up a couple of things for you. Some of the times you just leave your bag there and you walk away. You go up to the lounge and kick your feet up.
Mate, no, but breeds a sense of arrogance doing that. Bloody
exactly,
hell.
See?
Yeah, right.
But, there's been some great away trips. I've quite enjoyed it. Got even crazier in the towards the end too. Like, we were taking security guards and stuff away with us and, like, you know, you have team
because managers. Of an incident, or just like they're like, we're just going
to
be a bit
just to make sure, yeah. Like, they'd rather be ahead of the game than, you know, have to buddy chase your tail a bit. So,
yeah, right.
And even to the point where they would go and check out different venues for us beforehand, and you know, maybe
that's a good gig.
Talk to the security guards and stuff.
I'm a pub tester for the Australian side.
All the in saying that, the staff would go and test all the pubs first, and then they'd test out all the pubs during the week because we'd be training, getting ready for the game, and then they would tell us what the best pub was on the Saturday or whatever is when we played the game. So that's the gig.
Is a good gig,
And you want to be that assistant coach too. Like, you don't want to be like the big dog. You want to be the assistant coach. Like, Alfie Langer had it. Like, he had his job down pat. He was the water boy. He did a little bit of stuff at training with the halfbacks, did some passing stuff, did some kicking stuff. And then throughout the week, he was the pub tester. And then he would come out with us too on the weekend. Like, and you'd rock up to this bar, and everyone in the bar already knew who Alfie was.
Really?
What the hell? It's because he's been there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
yeah,
Friday.
Yeah, 100%.
Just checking out the venue. That's the job you want.
That is the job. Yeah.